So let's say that you have a stressful situation. The problem comes up, as it always does. Every hobo CEO will have the way that they respond to problems. And this is a big part of being happy, because things are not perfect. I'm hobo.
Business, lifestyle, and the philosophical implications of business whilst wearing shabby trousers, or no trousers at all.
Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, and hobos, to another episode of the Hobo CEO podcast. Joining me today is the man that puts shabby into shabby trousers, Nico Apfel. Hello, Nico.
Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Where are you joining us from today?
Well, today I'm actually having a kind of layover between two trains, and I'm in a really nice coffee shop in Penang, Malaysia. The coffee shop is called City Gun, and I will definitely mention it in the show notes, as this is really great barista coffee and flourless chocolate cake I'm having. Delicious.
So perfect hobo paleo spot.
Totally.
Marvelous. Well, I am coming to you from Tokyo today. I've relocated twice in the last week. Came back from Ho Chi Minh City via Bangkok and now to Tokyo.
Awesome.
Where it's a refreshing change, where rather than the taxi drivers trying to rip you off all the time, the taxi rides are simply just extremely expensive. Been a bit of an interview week for me. I just got off Skype with Tim Connolly, going to be featured on Foolish Adventure Show later, about a month's time. Also, John Badeau of Jet Set Citizen is publishing an interview with me soon. And whilst I was in Bangkok, I caught up with my old friend Marcus Lucas, who is doing an educational product for entrepreneurs in Brazil. And he did a video interview with me. So, feeling like a celebrity already.
That's nice. We both met John Badeau in Chiang Mai in January with his wife. And he said that he's going to return to Tokyo, so you met him again.
Exactly. We caught up in the Tsukiji fish market and had sushi for breakfast.
We also got some nice comments and feedback on our first episode. Thanks, everybody, for writing us comments and giving us some heads up as to what people like.
Really inspiring. Getting a nice response and getting people listening in. And, of course, it's been a great honor to have the most esteemed Jesse Lawler start following our miniature little hobo CEO Twitter accounts.
Totally. Celebrating.
So thanks, Jesse. So other news coming up, we've got a interview with Tynan scheduled, a chap I know from Tokyo, and I think a lot of the listeners will have come across Tynan already, because he's quite a well-known pioneering hobo CEO himself, running his own blogging platform, set.com. And also, a great pioneer of minimal living and, challenging himself. So really looking forward to catching up with him on his mindset.
Me too. That's great news, actually.
This week, our main topic is the balance challenge.
Maybe it should also be called the rebalance challenge. It's all about getting your life back into balance time and time again. There's so many different balances you have to look out for and you want to look out for. Not only the work-life balance, there's getting some exercise, not only sitting on the computer, getting some downtime, relaxing. I actually had a little bit of that myself last couple of days. I spent 2 weeks in 2 days. 2 weeks would be awful. I spent two nights in a row on the night bus, quite a cheap place to stay, about 10 euros per night. But then we decided to balance that out. We rented a really nice apartment in the center of Kuala Lumpur for 3 nights, having a fitness studio and a swimming pool on the roof, getting some balance.
Yeah, proper baller. Balancing the night bus with the baller pad. Yeah, so this week, the crux of the show is the conversation I had earlier this year with my friend and fellow hobo CEO James Ferrer, He's an old friend from Tokyo who's running an e-commerce business and been fully location independent for about 2 years. And I caught up with him in Thailand.
That's great. James, we both met him together just by accident in Chiang Mai. And he told us a little bit how he runs his business and what he's doing. And it really, really, really caught our interest. That's great that you met him.
So, to the discussion I had with James.
Cool.
I am more than pleased to be joined by James Ferrer. We're going to talk about happiness. That is kind of like the hobo CEO big goal of balancing life and work. I've achieved a good balance recently here, and I've had a lot of fun showing Chris kind of the way life is here. So that's why I wanted to talk about happiness in this episode, because you know, you're a real reminder to me of like why and how to be happy. I've been doing the hobo CEO thing for close to 7 years now. Sometimes I forget, you know, when I first started, I was there living the dream that I'd built up.
Right.
You know, every now and then I kind of fall off this path, and like these last few days in Phuket, it's really been a reminder of how important it is to make sure you've got your balance and your dose of happiness, and how that really assists with productivity.
I'm sure a lot of people know about the hobo CEO lifestyle and the 4-hour work week, this sort of thing. But in case some people are listening that aren't living this way and don't know what we're talking about, what we're talking about is both Chris and I have businesses we own and manage remotely. We built these businesses with the idea they would facilitate our ideal lifestyle.
Mm.
All the steps along the way have been in line with this goal. So we are able to effectively operate and grow our businesses without having to be in any specific location at any specific time.
We're free from both time constraints and location restraints.
Right. And that just opens up a whole new world of possibilities. Mm. So this is like what we describe as the hobo CEO lifestyle, because we're like hobos moving around the world whenever we choose, but we're also running our companies, managing teams of people, you know, many customers, and we are just the next generation of a businessman.
Being humans, and something I often blog about, is we're apt to fall into habits and routines. It's essential that you make happiness something that it's on your to-do list. You know, you've got to keep that as a focus in your life.
Totally.
Because it's very easy to just fall into certain patterns and habits, and you start pointing in different directions. You're kind of heading towards money, you're heading towards, I don't know, love life or something, and you're missing the real goal, this basic happiness.
So some people will say, once I'm successful, I will be happy.
Yeah.
But it's kind of that reverse, I believe.
Exactly.
Once you are happy, you instantly at that moment have achieved success.
Exactly. Exactly. It's something that you're constantly moving into. It's not something you just achieve once and it's done.
Right.
As I've proved to myself, you know, I achieved my big goal. I started my business, moved to Japan, everything was remote. I had arrived.
Yeah.
It was just the start of another journey, punctuated with lots of ups and downs. Anyway, coming here to Phuket, I arrived in Thailand very much still in work mode. You know, I'd had quite a couple of weeks off, not really doing much over the winter break. And I had a stack of things building up that needed my attention.
Right, right, right.
Filling up my mind. And I was thinking, you know, I'd be getting some work done while I was here.
It's the beginning of the year now, middle of January. So it's kind of a time where you start to think about, you know, you need to work hard for this next year.
That's it.
It's like getting things.
This human habit.
Turning over a new leaf. And
turning kind of specific times. And it's like lunch is at 12, dinner is at 7. You start new things on January the 1st.
Right.
No, no, that's not how it is. That's just a human construct that we've created. Right. And so these first few days in Phuket, in fact, every day is basically us doing fun stuff. It's almost been like the focus of the day.
Right.
It's like, you know, we wake up, maybe we get some stuff done in the morning, but why the fuck am I trying to work? I'm like near the beach. I'm not near the beach for most of this last year.
I'm going to Chiang Mai tomorrow. Uh-huh. I'm going to be away from the beach. Uh-huh. This is the time to go surfing. This is the time to go snorkeling.
Right, right.
Even in my freedom of this lifestyle I've created, forgot to go surfing. Right. So I think this is, do I say put happiness on your to-do list? Make sure it's something that you remember to take. Is it, whatever situation you're in, there's going to be a certain level of happiness that you can just reach out and take that you deserve. So make sure that you're taking it. Even, you know, even for people like me and James who have what resembles the ideal lifestyle, still forget to take happiness.
Right.
We still get involved in stuff in our heads and things that we think that we have to do. And, you know, of course we do have to do some stuff, but the what we're going to get onto is one of the reasons of taking happiness is it really creates an important balance in your life.
Right.
And it, when you're in that state, that's when some real magic happens.
We're not downplaying the importance of working, you know, just because there's fun to be had doesn't mean that you can neglect any responsibilities that you have. And just because you're in a position where you can relax doesn't mean that you're allowed to become complacent.
Yeah.
There's an element of having a well-rounded life so that you can benefit in all areas of life. This is something that I think about a lot. I very much try to maintain a quote-unquote success in this area of life balance.
Mm.
Why can we focus so much on happiness? There's two reasons. One, we have set up our business situations so that we have the time to do this. And the reason why it's good is because when you're happy and healthy, you are smarter. It's been said that you're 30% smarter when you're happy.
Yeah.
And everybody knows when you're stressed, you start thinking about the bad things. It's like a downward spiral.
Yeah.
Singing in the shower is when you have that great idea.
Yeah.
That turning point idea. So I believe in cultivating those turning point ideas. Yeah. I've set up my business management in such a way that I don't put in so much muscle into the business. I don't have to work the long hours. I'm like a planner. I am the inspiration for everything. Without some amazing inspiration, we would have nothing to do, no matter how hard we did it.
Yeah.
So getting that inspiration or those new ideas of the way something should be done or something that shouldn't be done, it's the most important thing. It's like, this is like the top level stuff. This is the CEO stuff.
Mm.
And those things happen when your mind is healthy and, yeah, and clear. And a lot of times they happen when you're just having a blast with your friends.
There's two immediate benefits from balance and making sure that you're relaxed and having fun and happy. Is one is you're cultivating these conditions for having these moments of inspiration.
Yes.
It's being 30% smarter. The other is also you're actually creating time. You're actually creating a buffer in your life. Because I remember this is one of the things that you said recently, is you try and work the minimum time that you can, and you create the maximum spare time.
Yes.
And I can see that makes such sense from a business point of view, because you're creating a huge buffer of your time. You're the CEO. You're in charge of everything.
Yes.
Your time is the most valuable. There's no point in you getting involved in some little spreadsheet. That's a waste of your time. Yes. You want to preserve your time. Working minimum time and having maximum spare time. This is what's actually allowing you to plant all these new e-commerce businesses this
right,
year.
Right, right. So some people might think, well, if the main goal of the workflow of the whole business is to reduce the working time of the CEO, that's a bit selfish, and shouldn't the CEO be more invested in the business? Well, there's two reasons why I reduce my working time. One, so that I can go surfing with Chris whenever I want, or spend time with my other friends and family, or pursue healthy things. Okay, this is one thing, like my enjoyment. But the other reason is I am a true CEO. I am a serial entrepreneur. I have a list of projects that I am just dying to work on. I want to change the world in this way and that way. You can't do that when you're working all day on just changing the world in this way.
Yeah.
You need to just spend half the day changing the world in this way and the other half of the day changing it in that way.
Yeah.
You should work towards having your working methodology and your resources set up in such a way that you can efficiently pursue new projects, new products, advancements, make your impact on the world more easily scaled up.
One of the greatest nuggets of wisdom that I picked up along the way is just the idea that if you're creating the right project, if you're creating something that's good and it's going to work, it's not going to take 100% of your effort. That's not a signal that you're doing the right thing.
Right.
If you're spending 100% of your effort on something, you're doing something wrong. It's just think about it. If you're doing something that's right, you're going to get signals that it's right. It's going to start powering itself. It's not going to take all of your effort. And I think James is demonstrating this very well.
I like to work in the morning because that's the best time for me. That's my smartest time. I work in the morning for about an hour each morning, Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Well, I have breakfast, maybe before breakfast or slightly after. And I feel so smart during that time. I feel like I can take over the world for the hour, the first hour that I'm, you know, ready in the morning. When like 10:30 a.m. rolls around, that's like past my maximum power time.
Yeah.
And so I'll go on and I'll go train jiu-jitsu. And then after training a couple hours of jiu-jitsu, go to the ocean, enjoy the ocean, swimming, surfing, free diving, whatever. Then spend the rest of the day my friends and loved ones and relaxing in the evening. And then the next morning, I am Superman.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah. You know, ideas come to me. It's not like, you know, my mind doesn't stop throughout the day. It's just given the room to move that it needs. And then the action that I put forward just happens in a brief burst of high-powered planning for other people and what their actions should be.
Yeah.
So this allows me to think about what I will do, what is necessary for me to do, and also to think what is necessary for 5 to 10 other people to do as well.
Yeah.
I can do the thinking for multiple people because that's all I do. And I keep my mind in such a good condition.
Mm.
It's so healthy and it's so fit.
Yeah, it's really interesting hearing your average work day. It's quite a contrast from the average work day. Yeah, I mean, I think I work more hours than you do, for sure. There's been periods where I've worked real minimum time and I've focused myself on other activities in my life. You know, like maybe building social skills or sports, kite surfing. You know, happiness is a kind of elusive thing. It's not like there's a formula for happiness.
Right.
To an extent, I think most people, there's something that they know that they can do that they'll enjoy. Whatever state your life is in, you know there's some kind of option you can take. Even if it's like kind of far away from your idea, at least it's a step in the right direction. Having said that, generally the consensus is that man is generally happy when he's fully engaged. That this is a key part of happiness. And I almost distill it to say it's about engagement, it's also about fixing stuff. You know, if there's something in you that maybe is a little bit broken, it's like fixing that. It's almost like kind of analogy with something mechanical. It's going to run well when it's fixed. If it's kind of not working properly, it's not going to run that well.
Right, exactly.
So it's for me, that's kind of the hardest thing. Because when I find something in me that I think isn't optimal or is broken in some way or is lacking, it's like that's usually the hardest thing to deal with.
Right.
And in a sense, that's almost like contrary to happiness, because it's like sometimes it's like, oh, well, if I just kind of relax and don't worry about that, that's kind of happy. But eventually, you know, something is at the back of my mind. It eventually comes to the forefront of my mind. And, you know, it's like I end up having to take action one way or another. Being fully engaged and maybe with that kind of twist of having an eye out for kind of fixing things. That's perhaps the only formula I could offer for happiness.
So let me ask you. So let's say that you have a stressful situation. The problem comes up, as it always does. Every hobo CEO will have the way that they respond to problems. This is a big part of being happy, because things are not perfect. There's always a million problems and a million things that need to be done and a million things that are going wrong. But how do you feel for yourself?
Well, I'm actually just about to publish a blog post about this, but I came to suspect that I was getting stressed, not about anything specific, but I was getting stressed out as a sort of habit. It was like a state that my body would gravitate towards, and it would label the reason as something that was happening at the time, but it wasn't. That wasn't the reason.
Yeah.
It was like a habit that I developed.
Yeah.
And I realized this, or at least I came to suspect it, so I decided to start testing it.
Okay.
I realized that there was nothing within a 24-hour period that I had to do.
Okay.
I've structured my business now, so it just runs itself. And really, 48 hours, really.
Okay.
Maybe longer. There's really nothing that I have to do. I can unplug, turn everything off, not reply to any calls or emails, and everything will be fine. So I realized that I had this time. And I thought to myself, if I'm getting myself stressed out, and it's detrimental to my work, which it is. As you said, 30% smarter when you're happy.
Right.
You know, 30% dumber when you're stressed. Probably 100%. And it was affecting decisions I was making. So I realized it was really detrimental to my business and everything I was doing for me to be in this state, this stressful state. So I thought, okay, let's give myself a buffer. Let's give myself up to 24 hours. Just to do whatever I have to do to chill out and relax and to bring myself back into a much nicer, calmer state.
So you're saying the problem comes to you.
Mm.
You allow yourself to not respond to the problem or the other non-urgent routine tasks
for
one day.
Let's
a resting period for your mind.
I might be different, but I suspect there's plenty of people who have this kind of stress habit.
Okay.
And the thing is to make sure you've got a distinction between what's like really is a problem and what's really urgent and what's just you can deal with a bit later.
Right.
It's just because you've got this level of stress.
Right.
Even if a problem does come up in my business, like if there's a problem on one of our servers, then one of the dev team will fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, there's not really many ultra urgent problems in my business.
Right.
Even if the servers were down for 24 hours, we would lose a bit of bad will with our customers, but it wouldn't be the end of the world.
Right.
It's like I could let that happen.
Has that happened in the past?
Servers going down.
Yes, just this one specific. And after that happened once, how did you feel your stress level was when that situation happened again?
Yeah.
More or less than the first time?
Yeah. I kind of created this immediate stress reaction to server problems. This is kind of...
So you felt more stressed the second time?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of taken me until fairly recently to realize that the stress created by the server problems was out of proportion of what the actual problem is.
Because I feel less stressed the second time.
Yeah. Well, I think you're a smart guy, James. You're spending more time than me being happy, so you're smarter.
Well, the source of my happiness, it comes from the confidence that I have that everything is going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that my success rate for problems in the past has been 100% success.
Yeah, yeah.
I have come to here today, I have survived against all odds, against every single problem that ever came up in the past. I have solved it in the best possible way, and we are here this afternoon.
Yeah.
And if another problem comes up, I doubt it will be the biggest problem that I've faced.
Yeah.
And all the other ones worked out fine. So what I believe, I have the confidence that the next one will work out fine as well.
So I think this is really underlines my point of getting into a stress mindset or not. Because like when I, the first time my servers went down, I kind of got myself into a stress mindset. I was not aware of my state. And recently I've become much more aware of my state, and I've realized that, in fact, the servers went down just a few days ago. I was logged in to the server. I could have fixed it myself, but I thought, I'm going to wait for my dev guy to figure out the server's down and let him fix it. So I think part of this for me has been the realization that a lot of the stress in my life is a habit. It's not actually because of the problem. It's like this kind of reaction, this kind of inbuilt reaction I have to kind of create this sense of stress.
Of course, because stress is a response that only exists inside of your own mind.
Exactly, exactly. So this is why I created this concept I call the anxiety buffer.
Okay, what's this? I still don't understand.
So basically, I've realized that I have 24 hours to play with at any time, any place, whatever's going on. I can just ignore the world time for 24 hours. So with that in mind, even if I'm stressed, I know that. I know I've got 24 hours. And all I have to do is recognize that I'm stressed and think, okay, let's be smart here, Chris. Me not being stressed is more important than whatever I'm doing at the moment. So I give myself up to 24 hours
to de-stress.
Okay, and normally, as soon as I kind of realize that and give my permission to de-stress, it you maybe take half an hour. I don't need 24 hours. But worst case scenario, I know I've got a hell of a lot of time to de-stress. And it just works a charm. It's a great technique.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I don't remember when it was, but at some point I decided I was never going to allow myself to be stressed again.
Yeah.
I was in Tokyo. Wish I could remember exactly what the event was, because it would kind of shed some light on the process. But I decided I will never be stressed again.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm like a special person, special mental condition, but yeah, that worked. I was super stressed before. Now I don't have a stress response.
Yeah. Like, that reminds me of Tynan. He's another chap I met in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
He said exactly the same thing about being happy. He wrote it on his blog. I can't remember the exact words, so I'm paraphrasing. But he said when he was younger, one day he decided that he was always going to be happy. For Tynan and for you making that decision, right, I'm not going to be stressed anymore. It's like the sum of what you were, everything you've done in your life brought you to that point where you had the power to make that decision.
Yes.
And you've had the power to carry that through.
Right. I often tell people that they should, like I mentioned before, have confidence that they're going to be able to handle the situation. I don't know if really that is possible for everyone. I'm a quite a good problem solver.
Yeah.
And I can always find a solution. This is my gift. This is why I can do what I do.
There's no kind of cheating. It's like you kind of have to bring awareness to yourself. Not so much the purpose of life. It's maybe a longer discussion.
Yeah.
But the pursuit of happiness.
Nice.
So a big thanks to James.
Thank you.
And we hope that you'll be back and join us for some further interviews.
Most definitely.
So thanks for listening, chaps.
Yes, thanks everyone for listening.
Signing out from Phuket.
Goodbye.
Take care, bye.
Great interview, Chris. It's really a pleasure to hear him talk about his constant and conscious effort to create happiness in his life. And as far as I remember, we have some more coming up from James in one of our future episodes.
Yeah, that's right. Whilst I was there with James, I bagged him for a second interview where I get him to talk about his hiring and staffing techniques. Real good stuff there.
Looking forward to that.
We've got some cool episodes in the planning, talking about taking relationships onto the road at some point soon. Both Nico and myself have been traveling whilst in long-term relationships, and many of the hobos we've met on the road have been doing the same with marriages and with kids and whatnot. So yeah, we've got a whole load of great conversations coming up.
Sounds awesome.
So thanks again for joining us.
Talk soon.
And we look forward to catching up with you hobos and ladies and gentlemen next time.
Happiness hacks, hiring, hovering, lunching, launching, morality, morons, pipe dreams, protons, hunting, leaping, jumping, kite surfing, landing pages, optimization, and super.